Cowboys. Check him out now as a senior analyst for NFL.com. You can also catch him on Sirius XM. The godfather of NFL scouting, Gil Brandt, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Gil, we know you're busy this time of year, but thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We greatly appreciate it. You know, take care, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Anything, anytime with Mr. Neal.
Thank you so much, Gil.
Thank you, Gil.
How do you guys know each other?
Just in the scouting world, seeing him in different things. When he was in Dallas, you know, you see certain guys, whether you're playing in games, you know, at training camp. It's a lot of times, Joe, you're at a game or after the game, you're in the locker rooms, scouts come to different teams. And even in college, scouts come to your facility. You make relationships, you say hello, you meet guys over the years, different circles, golf tournaments, you name it. You see a lot of these guys around. And sometimes, you know, there's a guy, you know, used to be the Atlanta Falcons head coach, race car guy with the years when I was playing there.
Gibbs, Joe Gibbs.
Cowboy hat, got it.
Jerry Glanville.
Thank you.
He agreed with all of them. I don't know which one. Joe Gibbs.
Glanville. Okay, thank you.
All right, so it's Jerry Glanville.
Thank you.
Which, by the way, can you put your right hand down? I'm not hearing anything you're saying because I'm looking at that crooked-ass finger, and I'm just mesmerized by it. Looking at that finger. I'm like, does that hurt?
No,
it can't hurt because he doesn't say anything.
It doesn't. Now when I point, everyone's like, are you pointing at me?
Two fingers are pointing at me, and one's pointing to Joe. It's crazy.
Anywho, I mean, when he holds his hand up like that, it's like dangling.
It is.
It doesn't hurt at all, though.
No, it looks like it's like falling off. You're like, what's wrong with that finger? Pick that thing up. The kids, they love looking at it, twisting it, hurting me with it. But it's
a freak show sort of thing.
It pretty much is.
The kids love my crooked finger.
They do. It's a conversation piece. Especially when I used to be drunk. you want to see something? I'll hit my hand on them. Like having some pops. And when I used to get back in it, you know, stagger. You fall down. Oh, God. I know that finger. I jack my hand. Let me see. Oh, my God. You dislocated your hand. Bartender, give me two more shots. Boom, boom. God, you're tough, man.
Good old days.
Oh, you're so tough.
God, you're tough.
Exactly.
You and old Gil Brandt. Yeah,
and they're like, man, you sure you don't want to go to the doctor? Bartender, you got any tape? Friggin' tape it up. They're like, damn, you're still like you playing ball.
Yeah. So anyway, the Jerry Glanville. Sorry, I derailed you.
You guys did.
That's on me.
Not you guys. I sat by and watched. Anyway. We both don't look and sound the same.
So you are derailing him now, though.
Good point.
Great point, Joe. Thank you. Stop it, Dibs. Anyway,
great point, Joe.
My name's not...
Please.
Okay. So anyway, Oaklandville Joe.
Oaklandville.
He's old now. See, he every time we play him, or anytime I'd see him, he's like, man, I'd love for you to play for me. I just want you to play for me. So you played against him in games. He went to the booth, and certain guys, you wanted them to have your games. Even though you didn't see them much, you saw them every now and then, they just have that. You had that type of influence on them because of the way that I played. So anyways, that was just a little rant there.
Not just influence, but gravitas.
Absolutely. I didn't want to go to it. I restrained.
Pace yourself.
You've had
a great hour and 4 minutes so far.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, a radio.com station. Good morning and welcome to the program. It is great to have you with us.
And we are legal. That's all.
We are.
Thank you. That's all. I've been wanting to do that, Joe.
Along those lines, I wanted to read something from the text line. From the 650, your show is an embarrassment. First you praise Garoppolo endlessly after 5 games. Now you're making excuses for him with a hard schedule and not enough weapons around him. 95.7 is a joke. You know what? Good morning to you as well, sir. And thank you so much for weighing in on the text line. We take all texts, not just positive, but negative as well. I almost feel like we should do a mean text segment. Borrow that from, is that Kimmel?
Yeah, Kimmel does it.
Kimmel does mean text?
Yep.
We should do mean text.
I get mean text all the time. Lo, you got ass in your lips. I mean, why would someone text it over to you? The 310. Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
See that. From the 323. Yeah, Lo got a little ass on his lips.
What? Yes, Dibs. So mean text. I get them all the time. Think about. So you are out there driving your cars. Think about
the
326. Think about what that person just said. Text me. That was wrong. And he's out of line. I'm praying for you, brother or sister. ass on the lips.
And no one was making excuses for Garoppolo.
Right.
It's a fair question. 5-0 last season, but this year you're going to face some challenges. I'm interested to know what his ceiling is. I do like the mean text, though, idea.
Damn.
We could put some music underneath it. We could read them off. We'd probably get a lot.
We already have the beef line, 415-403-8588. The beef line is kind of the same version, right?
Of here's the beef. Get the number right.
Yeah, I know. That's probably a flag. I think it's a flag.
415-403-8588. 415-403-8588. Best calls every Monday and Friday at 7:30. Best call of the month. We'll get a $100 gift certificate to Harris Ranch. Courtesy of our friends at Harris Ranch. And a reminder, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we are giving away a foursome in our, get your minds out of the gutter, in our station golf tournament next Tuesday. The thing sold out in less than a week, but we ended up having one additional foursome. So we're going to give that away tomorrow between 6 and 6:30.
Oh, wow.
That's the window.
That's awesome.
6 and 6:30 tomorrow. You come on out. You'll hang out with all of us. You get to meet Dibs. You get to meet Lowe. Jerry Rice will be out there. The entire morning show team will be out there. The entire station will be out there having a good time. Yeah, Guru's going to be out there. Guru wants to be pounding drinks.
He actually is going to be out in a golf cart going from group to group. And spoiler alert, but he's excited. He's excited about it.
You don't
give
say.
Give yourself applause. That was good.
I'll handle the buttons over here.
Okay? Don't be mad because we buried your butt early this morning, okay?
No,
don't you start, okay?
Did I say word one about that?
You don't have to. You don't have to.
Nor did I flag you for being tardy to this segment. That was overlooked as well.
No, the Gil Brandt segment.
Yeah.
Can't flag me. You know why? Because he was on the phone. The guy said he's there. You couldn't mess around with it. So you had to come in and introduce him. And right when you introduced, where I was in the seat, he acknowledged me.
That's not how it works.
The segment starts.
You're in your seat with your headset on and your microphone on. The segment started. You were nowhere to be found.
How many times?
Then suddenly this rhinoceros comes barreling through the door and sits down. Not a distraction to all of us or anything like that because we're pros and we're used to it.
Handled it.
But he could have flagged you in that spot, in his defense.
So, in your chair, mic on. Boom.
Or standing if you prefer to stand, but you don't.
We never necessarily have our mics on. We understand that because we all get flagged for that. So, you can't say in your chair, mic on. So, boom. Discard that. Secondly, when you go into it.
What do you think the rule should be?
In the building, awake is the rule.
Just as long as the station's on, it doesn't matter if there are words or static. He'll come and go as he pleases.
No.
As long as he's thinking about the radio show, that qualifies.
About time you figured that out, Gordon Ma.
Oh, you love this, Dibs. When he comes over to the white side and it's all right, now it's 2-1. I enjoy that. Keep it coming. No, Gil came on the line.
No.
Joe introduced him. Hey, Gil, glad to be on the show. And as he said, yeah, I'll come on anytime because that guy, O'Neal, I said, Gil, thank you so much for jumping on. Thanks for letting me call you last night. Thanks for getting back to me. So you can't act like that's a flag when I was ready and willing to answer when called upon.
First of all,
good uptick.
You slammed
bonus points for the uptick there.
The fact that
it's 2-1 and Anna's not helping me and I'm on my own.
You rushed
in. I'm going.
I'm going. Woof. That's right. It was coming.
Lone wolf.
You play that golf game.
Yeah, it's a great golf game.
Exactly. I'm wolfing it right now.
I can't wait to see you wolf it today at the golf tournament at the LMA Classic.
Today at 9:45, we will need your help. Lowe and Dibs are both playing in the Celebrity Pro-Am. Dibs' term, case celebrity being used very, very loosely for this event.
Thank you. Nice.
But it's a Celebrity Pro-Am nonetheless. And again, he'll handle the buttons, not you. You just calling everything out today.
Yeah, I'm too busy trying to find out when your tee time is so I can get you to the golf course on time. Go ahead and get the buttons ready. Good Lord.
It is true. And by the way, it's a radio show. You can talk. Stop trying to
put you on blast.
He does have you operating as his secretary today.
Hey, let's be on blast. I mean, there's certain things you don't do. Certain things you don't bring. Yeah, that's it. You bring it out. That's a private conversation. You're going to bring it at the air, Dibs? Really?
That's how we do things here. Everything's on the record. Even when you specifically say, look, don't bring this on the air, but 20 minutes later, that's coming out on the air. And then everyone's going to stare at each other like, why would you do that? The reality is, why would you tell someone something you don't want on the air?
This is true.
We can only say so much around each other.
There you have it.
Yeah.
But back to business. 9:45 today, we need your help. Lowe and Dibs are both in the Ellie Mae Celebrity Pro-Am today, but they're not on the same team. So we need to come up with some wager ideas for how we can pit these two against each other. All comers are welcome. 9:45 today. We will bring you onto the air. We will read your texts, your tweets, whatever it may be. We need your suggestions.
He's going to give me 14 strokes aside.
You're playing with a pro. He's not giving you 14 strokes aside. And first of all, you want 14 strokes aside against Dibs.
Yeah.
Former pro athlete.
He's not Justin Rose.
I'm just some slappy who ran cross country in high school, not some borderline Hall of Famer in the most popular game on earth.
You play golf 4-5 times a week, 3-4 times a week.
You were a two-sport Division I athlete.
Oh, you're going to go play football? How many points you want? We'll go to 21, and I'll give you 19.
Nothing okay? better than a one-on-one football
Thank
game.
You. Okay?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Surprised that Goodell hasn't thought of that already. One-on-one football.
Whoa.
It's basically
Big
American
Shooter?
Gladiators, Breakthrough and Conquer.
Exactly, Big Shooter. So I'm getting... So
Here's a question. What was the greatest American Gladiators event of all time? We'll come back with that and also real sports. Joe Lowe and Dibs, the Money Spot, coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Are you ready
to win some money?
This is the 12K per day cash contest. Your chance to win $1,000 right now. Text the code word SAVE to 72881. It's that simple. Again, text the code word SAVE to 72881 right now. Sponsored by Xfinity from Comcast. This is a multi-city contest. Message and data rates apply.
Do you hear that light breeze? Do you hear the birds chirping? Well, those are all sound effects. But if you stopped and took the time to get McDonald's breakfast, you might hear them for yourself. Take the time to start your morning off right. Grab any size hot coffee for just a dollar and pair it with a delicious sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles. Or conquer those morning meetings with a hearty sausage McMuffin with egg. Stop and smell the coffee. Treat yourself to breakfast at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Drink run. Here we go. McCafe coffees, shakes, and drinks. Ain't no thing. You the man. Yeah, that's what they're gonna say. Aw, Kevin, thank you so much. We love you. That's right. You the champ. The drink run champ.
Welcome to McDonald's. How can I help you?
Own the drink run, Kevin. Own it. Now get a small smoothie, shake, or frappe for $2 on McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Hi, I'm Versailles from your Elk Grove Safeway. We're happy to be part of the local communities we serve. And this week, we're celebrating 92 years of service in Northern California by offering huge savings to our customers. Our anniversary sale is happening now with deals on hundreds of items throughout our stores. Get Fritos, Cheetos, or Roll Gold Pretzels, 2 for $4. And 20-ounce Gatorade 8-packs, buy one, get one free, with your club card. Now that's savings worth celebrating. This is Versailles from your Elk Grove Safeway, and we'll see you soon.
In a business like yours, things move fast. Every minute is precious. And when you have to hire a new employee, you can't afford to stop what you're doing. You need an efficient way to get to a short list of qualified candidates fast. That's why you need Indeed.com, used by over 3 million businesses. Daryl is hired with Indeed.
This site saves me a lot of time. It makes my job so much easier.
Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using our intuitive online dashboard.
I've used other websites in the past for hiring. Nothing has been this easy, this simple, and this effective.
And when you need to hire fast, accelerate your results with sponsored jobs by getting more exposure to relevant job seekers. New users can try for free at Indeed.com/offer. Your time is precious. Let Indeed help you get to your short list of qualified candidates. Get started today at Indeed.com/offer. Search for greatness. Search Indeed. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Hey, guys. Pardon the advertising interruption to your radio program. Do yourself a favor and please listen carefully. If you have tried or wanted to try Viagra or other male prescriptions in the last few years, you need to hear about Noxetril, the super pill that will transform your sex life forever. You see, Noxetril has been formulated and developed in U.S. FDA labs, and it's the real deal. Noxetril works, period. Strong, explosive results that increase blood flow fast. And best of all, there are no side effects like prescription meds. After years of of research, the developers of Noxetril got it right. This remarkable pill is off the charts. Right now, we encourage you to take advantage of our incredible free bottle offer. So what are you waiting for? Noxetril. It's that good.
Call right now and get your free supply. Call 800-617-8133. That's 800-617-8133. It's like Viagra on steroids. Improve your sex life with your free supply. Call 800-617-8133. That's 1-800-617-8133.
One of the game's biggest stars returns to the stage. J. Cole.
Can't take it when you die.
The KOD Tour. August 29th, Oracle Arena.
No role models, and I'm here right now.
With special guest, Young Thug.
Anybody, but I got something to do with it.
J. Cole. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Arena box office or charged by phone. New album, KOD. Available everywhere. Produced by Live Nation.
Lady Luck comes and Lady Luck goes, but at the Oaks Card Club and Oaks Corner Sports Bar and Restaurant in Emeryville, she is a regular. The Oaks Card Club features 40 tables of nonstop gaming, Texas Hold'em, Omaha, and 7-card stud. Popular games including Baccarat, Blackjack, 3-card poker, Pai Gow, and Pai Gow poker, all played 24-7. Card clubs come and card clubs go, but after 100 years on the same corner in Emeryville, they're here to stay. Play it smart. Play at Oaks.
I cannot wait to show you our brand new deck.
I have been looking forward to this.
We went to Dolan's, and luckily they have experts there that really helped us figure everything out, and I think they did a really
good
job.
More homeowners are choosing the beauty of Humboldt Redwood for decking and fencing. Nothing like the color, the durability. Planning a shade structure, maybe a pergola? Choose Humboldt Redwood Timbers at Dolan's. In stock sizes and custom order, discover the beauty, benefits, and affordability of Humboldt Redwood. Visit DolanLumber.com. That's DolanLumber.com.
Okay, navigation. Take me to the closest Quick Stop store.
I'm guessing you're thirsty for Quick Stop's 99-cent fountain drink.
How did you know?
You get a 32-ounce cup filled with your favorite ice-cold soft drink, and there's no coupons or cards or secret phrases needed.
Thanks.
Enjoy a 32-ounce Dr. Pepper and other flavors for 99 cents at Quick Stop.
95.7 The Game. Trending now.
Giants bullpen melts down again. Amanda Kakadaki's Mad Bum tossed 7 scoreless, but again, the Astros crushed a late-inning homer to beat the Giants 2-1. San Francisco dropped both games to Houston. They welcome the Pirates tomorrow. Giants insider Alex Pavlovich will join the show at 9:10. Chris Davis crushed homer number 32, but it wasn't enough as the A's fall short to the Dodgers 4-2. With the Seattle loss, A's still 2 up on the Mariners in the second wild card spot. Dodgers now first in the NL West. Tonight, Mike Fiers will make his debut in the green and gold against Clayton Kershaw. Coverage starts at 6:15 right here on 95.7 The Game. And according to multiple reports, the Warriors will host LeBron and the Lakers on Christmas Day. The NBA will release the opening week schedule, Christmas schedule, and MLK schedule at 11 a.m. The 95.7 The Game Celebrity Golf Tournament is less than a week away. Tune in to Joe Lowe and Dibs tomorrow morning between 6 and 6:30 a.m. We'll be giving away a chance to play in the tournament. I'm Anna Kakadakis on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free artwork for you, the enthralled listening audience, because we do, in fact, love you. And it's about to get goofy for the next hour because there are so many different branches that we need to peel back. You don't peel back a branch, do you? No.
No, you peel back an onion. Certainly.
A nanner.
You peel back a banana, good call.
You know what, though? I think the onion rings true for this show. This show stinks, so let's peel back the layers of the onion. Let's
really
get to the stinky center, and then we'll end the segment. How's that sound?
Love the onion.
All right. This is going to move fast. There's a lot of things we got to get to. First, we got to pay off the tees. That was the American Gladiator music right there. Greatest American Gladiator event was?
It was the obstacle course, and I don't know if it was called that. The one where they would shoot the tennis balls out of the big cannon, and you had to hide.
Behind.
That was always my favorite. Because
assault?
I think it was assault. I don't remember all the names of the activities.
It was assault, Joe. And then I love that one.
That was the one I loved the most.
If only between when we brought up the idea and now there had been some time where we could have looked it up.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's exactly what we had. And then, no one did anything with it.
We were taking shots at Lowe and talking golf and having some tea.
We walked out of the studio. We spent 5 minutes making fun of Lowe's T-shirt. Then we walked back completely unprepared.
There we go.
That's the show.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
I enjoyed the
onion.
The basketball where they had to throw the ball and hoop and the guy was right there. you know, and they would try to stop him from getting in there. So they're trying to shake and
bang. Yes.
And they had to score him. We can score him.
It was like
hoops.
Little trash cans
yes!
throughout.
Yes.
And they had three gladiators out there defending, and both guys were running around
absolutely.
Trying to.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Nitro, I love the little Asian man. I mean, that dude was so
all right,
buff. And
all right. Just easy.
All right. All right.
And
you don't need to get too descriptive.
Oh, okay.
Nitro was good. You were going to say Nitro was your favorite gladiator.
He was. Didn't all you right. like him? Because, you know, freaking guy was tough. You know, and then you had Bullet. Bullet was a black dude, too.
I don't know. There were a bunch of them.
It was,
they
yeah.
were great. It was a great show.
I don't know if it was a bunch of black people. It wasn't. But it was, what are you talking about? A bunch of them.
Gladiators. There were a bunch of gladiators.
Oh, okay.
There were several gladiators on the show,
understood.
American
okay.
Gladiators. Had there been one, they would have called it American Gladiator. But they put an S on the
end. I got you. I got it.
So
got
you were talking
it.
About Asian, black, white. They
you
had them all. About Rocket Ball, where you jumped up on the cords off the trampoline, and you had to make the hoops, and they would try to swat you at the hoop. That one.
That was pretty cool, but the other one was it wasn't called that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. He's thinking of a different event. We've already spent too much time on this, and predictably, it was a disaster, as I think many of us thought it would be coming into it. That's number one. Wow, there's so much to get to. Okay, number two. We're going to go with Deja Vu all over again in the words of the great Yogi Berra.
High and deep to left. Slater back at the wall. Gone. White just hit a 99-mile-an-hour fastball out of the ballpark. How about that?
He was never thinking about anything else but the fastball. Black knew it when it left the bat.
We'll break down the game in just a minute, but the Kuiper call, the gone.
I love it.
Wouldn't that be the worst possible thing to hear if, like, a judge was saying that to you as you were being sentenced? If that was the last thing you heard on your way out, you just found out you were going to do a 7-year stretch
wow.
up in Pelican Bay, and you're just like, but Your Honor, gone.
Gone.
Bad choice. Got caught. Felony.
Got him.
Gone. Yeah. Kuiper should moonlight.
Pretty good.
As do a little Judge Judy.
As a bailiff. Or as a
look, it turned out my roommate owed me this $25, and as they're bickering back and forth, you know what? I'm tired of both of you. Gone.
Gone. I love Judge Judy.
I mean,
you know what she makes a year?
Big money.
Take a guess.
Oh, at least $5 million.
I'd say 10.
I think it's about 60. I think she's pulling in the neighborhood of about 60 mil a year. No
why
lie.
60?
Yeah, I might be
million?
Off by a bit. I know it's north of 40. I know it's
47
north of 40.
Million.
$47 yeah. million dollars a year.
Good
a year, not her net
God
worth.
God almighty.
47 to sit there and say, gone.
Pretty much, right? Just over and over. 47, that's syndication. It's a syndication sensation. That thing's on constantly.
So is she getting paid too much? Basketball and football players get paid at dibs. It's, they're getting, they got it good.
Wow.
Just to say, gone?
Yeah, did she hold out recently and not put on her black robe?
Would you hold out for
no,
47 million
up.
A year?
So she has a
would
contract.
Would you hold out for 47
and she
million
actually,
a year?
Actually shows up.
Okay, this
I would
one
hold
also
out for
went disastrously.
Yeah,
year,
thank
so.
You.
Gone.
Exactly.
Judge Judy. Shout her out. She knows
absolutely.
What she's doing.
They should actually use that cut during cut down day for the NFL for some of these poor guys who just aren't good enough to make an NFL roster. You know what? Third string tight end? We're only keeping two.
Gone.
Hey, coach wants to see you. Bring your playbook because you're
gone.
Can't play special teams. Two drops in the preseason game.
Gone.
Oh, you're a fullback? Turns out that position is now
gone.
Guys crossed the line.
Yes.
That's, everything was funny and everything. You guys crossed the line.
Joe, way to bring it home. That was great.
We didn't actually plan any of that. That's the beauty of the show. None of that was planned.
And you enjoyed
none of this is ever planned.
I wish you guys could see this suck over. He's smiling from ear to ear, looking like a damn clown. Cal Husek's on line one anyway, guys.
Oh, my God. All right. The one question from this game. It might be more than one. But again, deja vu all over again. Game one against the Astros Monday. Crawford hits the home run in the sixth. He's responsible for the run. Derek Rodriguez pitches a gem. Bullpen can't hold it. Game over. Houston 3, Giants 1. Yesterday, Bumgarner pitching a gem. Crawford, again, accounting for the only run, scoring on a Chase Darno single in the second inning. The Giants tried to maintain the lead, and then Ray Black, who has been lights out for this team, gets touched up just a bit by Travis White. Giants lose 2-1. It's the defending champs, right? That's what you're going to say on one hand. One of the best in the business. But you got Houston without Carlos Correa, without Jose Altuve, without George Springer, no Justin Verlander, no Garrett Cole. You're at home. They're on a road trip. You had Rodriguez and Bumgarner, your two best pitchers. You got to come away with at least one. You got to grab one in that scenario. This season, it's not meant to be, so be it. You got the bond ceremony on Saturday. Everybody can take some joy in that. Bochy, though, yanking Rodriguez after seven strong innings, 94 total pitches, then coming back the next day to yank Bumgarner after seven strong innings, 100 total pitches. Neither guy had given up a run. Both guys had struck out seven. They were cruising. You think he should have rode with him a little bit longer?
I don't think so. You had a good bullpen arm up, and you got to a point where seven innings of dominant baseball, it was enough. You turned it over to a reliever who had given up a hit this year, a single hit in 11 innings. So if you can't trust a guy who's given up just one hit and he comes in throwing 99, 100, and 101, and he got beat. He got beat on a two-strike pitch to Marwin Gonzalez, and he got beat on the home run. I think that's just a bad break. And you saw Boch immediately. They cut to the dugout, and you don't usually see him this demonstrative, but he had walked a little bit away from where he sits, and he kind of is half kicking at the air. And
his little kick.
Oh, and you can see that.
A little kick. It was very little.
He's mouthing something, and it's not, you know, aw shucks or aw darn, because two nights in a row where you just got beat, games that you should have won, you didn't win, and those are the ones that hurt.
Those were his best guys. If you're going to turn it over to Will Smith, Will Smith has been bankable. We've been saying for a while, as have many, that Will Smith is your best option for the ninth inning. It happens. But then the next day, you turn it over to Ray Black, who hadn't given up a hit in what, like 11 innings worth of pitching? He had an off day. It sucks that they came back to back, but I mean, damn, that's the rigors of baseball, especially during the dog days. Ooh, that's five.
That's an easy five.
That's an obvious five. Clearly someone wasn't paying attention in the huddle.
It's going to be a passing down now. Unfortunately, we can't run the ball on first and 15.
Wait a minute, now we're off schedule. We're behind the sticks.
Behind the sticks.
Probably get Marquette King ready.
But the thing about
the king is here.
Really, is the king really here? I was just trying to jump in. I was excited about making a comment.
Thank you, guru.
And I was excited. And I just had my mic off.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's okay, coach.
That's hogwash.
Now we're going to have to go four wides against the dime package, but whatever.
Nice, nice. Because you do got to play dime against four wides and five receivers. Anywho.
That was a lucky guess. Yeah. There's nothing else other than a lucky guess from a guy who's probably paid Madden a couple times.
Dime?
He listens to me a lot, Joe. Anyways, as I digest, it's sort of like, Joe, you're winning a wrestling match, and it's 30 seconds left, and you're up by one. And you don't have a big enough lead, and the guy's constantly coming at you, and you're just like, oh, I'm trying to hold on, and he gets you that takedown and gets it to two. It's not that he found a way to win. And sometimes you're looking at the Giants, they're trying to hold on, they're hanging around, trying to hold on, and you don't have enough cushion, and it's just one takedown is going to, you know, lose that game. And you saw it last night. Because you don't have enough runs on the board, you get in a situation where you're so close, and a team know they're in striking distance. And when you're that close, sometimes it just doesn't bounce the right way. And they lost that one. And it was a tough loss because the way they've been fighting, ninth inning, eighth inning, losing these games in the latter parts of these games, got to be tough.
I like the analogy, but I got to follow up. Are you using a wrestling analogy because we had that Japanese sumo wrestling on TV a little while ago? Is that why you're using the takedown analogy?
I think, yes. It's
got to be, right?
Right.
Because we were all just watching this like 1980s Japanese sumo wrestling. If you're driving around right now, don't ask why we were watching it. Don't ever try to get to the why of this show.
Yeah.
The why is the wrong question.
So you're saying we're going to have a darts analogy coming up because we're now watching darts on the Ocho.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's subliminally, you know, subliminally, you're just right there. You're like, yeah, it's like, you know, you're close. You're in that wrestling match. A guy's got you. Boom, you're up by one and just... He gets two, gets a takedown.
Because literally his illustration is what we watched on TV play out in front of us about 40 minutes ago.
I know.
All right, good stuff. Yeah. Hey, take what you see in the real world and apply it to the show. For Bochy to pull Bumgarner and Rodriguez, I know there was some griping about that because there's always going to be griping when you yank a guy who's pitching well and then the bullpen blows it. You never hear griping when the manager pulls the starter and the bullpen locks it down. Never hear any griping about that, obviously, because the result is what you would expect. I would say this. At least he's consistent. He did the same thing 2 days in a row. Both pitchers had struck out seven. Both pitchers were through seven. Bumgarner had thrown 100. Rodriguez had thrown 94. They were both cooking, but in both instances, Bochy went to his bullpen. He's consistent, so at least he has a plan in place. The worst is when you have these coaches in the NFL or these managers in baseball that are playing, let's call it battleship decision-making. Right? B3, miss. All right. G1, hit. Ooh, okay. D4, miss. They're just throwing anything out there. Some play callers actually do that. There's no rhyme or reason for the play calling. They just throw a play out there and they hope the play works in the NFL. Bochy's consistent. These coaches, 4th and 1, midfield, down 3, 2 minutes to go, they punt. Then they realize it's a mistake and the next day they go for it. Then they punt. Be consistent. Don't worry so much about the result. Worry about the process. We've tried to talk about that on the show before, and you can apply this to your day-to-day life. Be process-driven, not results-driven. Here's an example, and we use it all the time. Blackjack. If you are holding a 16 and the dealer has a face card, you need to hit in that scenario. If you stay and you win, the result's positive, right? Your result is very positive, but it's the incorrect decision, and long-term, you're going to lose money on that. Conversely, there could be some idiot at a table with an 18 and he's wasted and he decides to hit and he gets a 3 for a 21 and he wins. That does not make it the right decision. The result does not justify the process. Focus on the process, because once you get the process right, the results will come. But if you're just doing whatever you want and there's no rhyme or reason and you get the result, it's going to be flawed logic. It's going to be flawed decision making and it will come back to bite you. So long story short, Bochy, at the very least, is consistent with his decision-making.
And for me, guys, it's interesting. It's like everyone plays the Monday morning quarterback, and they're like, oh, my God, here we go. It's 3rd and 8, 1:30 left in the game. They're saying, what do you do? Throw the ball. If he throws it, it's incomplete. Clock stops. You're like, why didn't he run? If he runs it, he gets stopped. They're like, oh, my God, it was 3rd and 8.
Too conservative.
Exactly. It's 3rd and 8. But they're playing cover 2. They're playing prevent. So the coach is saying, we're going to run it because this is going to give us the big opportunity. If they run it to run out the clock, then you say, that is a great call. Bochy, he pulls that off last night. God, Madison got his 100 pitches in. It was great call. Putting in the guy, that was nice. But now you won't get that because you lost. So it's just interesting how people perspective that they're going to always second guess, especially when the results aren't what you expect them for.
All right, now we need to pivot into this. From the 707 on the text line. Good morning, gentlemen. Did you guys hear Damon Bruce's show yesterday? He said he would come do the morning show if he sees dibs on the KOFY dance party show. We need to get dibs on that show. That's from Alan in Sacramento. First of all, I don't know what that show is.
A Channel 20. It's TV 20. It's an old independent TV station here in town, and they have this thing called Dance Party where they play 1970s, 1980s music. People dress in the similar regalia, and it's people out there basically dancing on a TV show. It's an old idea that they used to have 20, 30 years ago, and the show has somehow persisted. And it's the most awkward white guy shuffle and like old guy trying to boogie down still kind of programming. It's maybe the pinnacle of embarrassment.
Will you do it?
If it means what, then we have to suffer through 4 hours of Damon Bruce? Sounds like a lose-lose to me.
I know. The reward for this is Damon coming in to do mornings. It's like, I mean, if
pass,
he's
going
to embarrass himself, he should be treated to a little bit more than that. Should he
if
not?
It means I get the day off and it's Joe Lo and Bruce, then fine, I'll do it for that. If it means that I don't have to work a day, now we're on to something.
We'd want you to recap it, though.
But yeah, there's always, you know.
You would deserve, yeah, I can see that. I don't disagree.
So for me, it's about risk-reward, right? Everything in life. Anna, we were kind of talking about this off-air. The things that you do, you want to get rewarded for. And so for me to put myself out there, I don't really care about that. I'm a pretty good dancer, quietly. So, and I've got some 80s.
Is that true?
Yeah, I can dance. I choose not to.
What kind of dancing? Like if we put you in the John Travolta Saturday Night Fever outfit, you show up, you do a little of that?
I could do a little Night Fever, yeah. I can do a little bit of the partner, how you doing, step here, step there action. But I'm really more of a freestyle hip-hop guy when I do get on the dance floor. But your boy's got to be about 14 or 15 deep. And I know you can appreciate
14
that.
14 or 15.
The man who stacked the shelves famously after being about 30 deep.
Yeah, I was definitely in double digits that night. I mean, we were at that bar 10 hours.
At least.
Watched the entire UFC from the preliminaries through the main event and then hung out for a couple more hours.
I'm surprised you didn't get an endorsement from Uber after that.
I canceled. For those who don't know the story, this was spring training a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I think I requested and canceled about 6 Ubers in a row, so I got popped $5 per. Finally took the ride back. Next morning, checked it. We were like 6/10 of a mile away. That ride cost me like $400 with all that stupid decision making. Oh my God. Anywho, your thoughts on this? He says he can hip hop dance.
I think he's probably got one or two moves. I don't think it's a lot. I think that he's probably got the one where you just stand in the pocket, not doing much.
Yeah.
I think
anyone can check down.
Check down Charlie.
It's a check down move.
That's
I'm not
right.
going to throw deep and like clear the floor and try to go vertical.
But if anyone can do it, that doesn't mean you have any moves. Anyone can do the check down. Anyone can go out there and do the check down. Come up with something like stacking the shelves.
Oh, then no. Then
no, see, it's really more than just checking down. It's being able to throw the screens, throw to the middle. Okay. I can throw the outs. I don't have a great deep ball as a dancer, but I could definitely move it up and down the floor.
Nothing everyone likes than Alex Smith completing a 7-yard pass on 3rd and 8. Nothing people enjoy more than that. That's 4th and 1 again. Almost got there. Almost got there.
I'm the Alex Smith of dancers.
Wow.
I'm a dance floor manager is what I am. Dance manager.
While we're on the football topic, headline, 49ers to honor Dwight Clark with helmet decal, statue outside of Levi's Stadium. This courtesy of Matt Maiocco over at NBC Sports Bay Area. I'm going to read right from the story. Dwight Clark helped launch the 49ers dynasty in the 1980s when he leaped high into the air to come down with the catch. The 49ers will permanently pay tribute to Clark at the apex of his fingertip grab with a statue outside the gates of Levi's Stadium, the club announced during a private event Tuesday night. That's got to be pretty awesome. Is the statue going to be, it sounds like, the live image of the catch? You know how Shaq got that statue outside of Staples where he's dunking and his legs are up in the air? It's like the full body thing?
Right.
That's what this sounds like. That would be great to have outside the stadium, would it not?
That would be incredible. And as you continue to try to make Levi's feel more like a home for the 49ers, things like this will go a long way toward building the bridge from Candlestick down to Levi's Stadium.
You know what would be great? Two issues of this, because I read this article. Number one, there's nothing in there about this. Get one of those holograms. You know how Coachella had like the Tupac hologram and Justin Timberlake was going to do the Prince hologram until they found out what Prince thought about that and then they scrapped it? Could you create a hologram where that actually was in the end zone for the Thursday night game against the Raiders when it's night out? Like, he's in the end zone going up and there's a hologram of that in that exact spot in the corner of the end zone. Do you think you could do that? I'm sure it's expensive, but
awesome.
Come on, Silicon Valley. I'm sure the tech exists down there to pull that off.
That would be awesome. That would be an incredible image. Like you say, Thursday night, halftime, maybe you do a little ceremony and you put the hologram down there in the end zone. That would be fresh.
Great, right?
Be unreal. That would be amazing, especially if you could dim the lights before the game. You say, we're going to play a tribute to Dwight Clark and have the play, have it come to the PA, go back and actually have it and have the crowd in the stadium erupt and watching it. That would be unbelievable, Joe. Great idea.
And do it for the Thursday night game. Raiders are in town, so it's
it.
You know what? There's the rivalry, of course, but give Raider fans credit. They can understand greatness when they see it. They know iconic moments. They have had several of their own. You're all in the stadium getting ready for the game, and then you have something like that to kick it off. That would be a great moment. And on national TV, no less, when people are complaining about Thursday night football and how the product, quote, suffers because you don't have enough time to get ready, that's a moment right there. And that's free, Jed. That's free. Courtesy of your boys, Joho and Dish.
That's how we do it.
Go ahead.
That
we don't
nice.
Even want tickets. We don't need anything for it. We're idea people.
Wow.
We thrive on enthusiasm.
That would be absolutely amazing. That's a phenomenal idea.
That's only one of my two ideas, though. I got a second one. And I didn't notice this in the article.
Yeah.
But when you create the statue of Dwight Clark and you put it outside the stadium with the catch, him doing the catch, the famous moment, you have to, elaborate on the statue and have Ratto in the background, do you not?
Nice.
Because Ratto was there on the field right behind Dwight Clark as that happened.
Yeah, famously he had the best view maybe in the world right there on the goal line. So you'd have to erect, for lack of a better way to, I don't know what else you do to a statue. You don't build a statue. That's how you do it, Lowe. I don't know how many statues
you
made.
We don't bake a statue. That's for sure. You erect a statue.
You don't saute a statue. So you would have to find a way to
flambe.
Erect a little Ratto.
You love that.
Mustache and all.
Now, that's
honestly, though, Ratto in the statue. That's even something he could get behind.
I think Ratto would say, Ratto would be like, no, guys, no. He doesn't want it.
I hope you get trapped under that statue.
A massive hypothetical. I understand.
Nice. We love you, Ray. We kid because we care. And because really that's all this show does on a regular basis. Antonio Callaway. I wanted to bring this up on a little bit more of a serious note. Antonio Callaway, wide receiver, Cleveland Browns, rookie out of the University of Florida. Callaway entering last season was one of the top wide receiver prospects in the country, but he's a troubled individual. He finds himself in trouble on quite a frequent basis. Had he kept his nose clean at Florida and just gone about his business, he's probably a first-round talent. Problem is he slides. I don't even know what the pick was, but he just got nailed again. And I'm not sure if this is going to be on Hard Knocks because I believe the first episode just came out, but Callaway got pulled over and had the cop search the car because he was that adamant there was nothing in it, and then they found weed. And he's been nailed for this before. I think he tested positive at the combine. We got to look up the details on some of this. But what I wanted to get into is this. This argument broke out yesterday, and there are a lot of people who make an excellent point. Here, as well as several other states, weed is legal. Ohio, it's not. Now, granted, there are different rules when it comes to society and the law, and then your employer like the NFL. So sure, California can tell you can go out and you can legally purchase pot. But you might have employers out there. Obviously, if you're a taxi cab driver, you're operating heavy machinery, you're not going to be allowed. Just because the law says you can drink alcohol or smoke weed, it doesn't mean you can do it on the job. So that's something different entirely. Do you think people still care if athletes smoke pot? Have we reached a point where the pendulum has swung to where most people look at stories like this and they're like, man, I do not care? Or do you still think the majority of the society looks at an athlete using pot and thinks to themselves, this guy's a troublemaker, you shouldn't be doing that?
I think the pendulum has swung, but we can't underestimate the large swath of this country. And it's partly older people, but it's also mainly middle America. People in places where pot has not reached the level of acceptance that it has out here and in other communities where it's now legal. And I think that when you look at the full collection of America, it's probably closer to 50-50. But among football fans, pure fans of the game, I think fewer and fewer care. And I would say more fans now have that attitude that you were describing. Like, who cares if they're using marijuana, especially if it's, you know, to try to manage their pain, the pain obviously they're in from playing this great game.
Let's say it's not, because that makes more sense. I think more people can get behind that. Let's say it's not. Let's just say it's recreational. They just want to get high. Not go out and cause trouble necessarily, but some people like to go to the bar and have a few drinks after a game. Some people like to get high. Do you think people are still upset about the idea that athletes are role models and they shouldn't do this? Or are we as a country starting to move away towards the, you know what, man, I'm tired of hearing these stories. If he wants to smoke, let him smoke.
I really believe that just like with politicians, athletes, there is a huge amount of people out there to believe that they should be different. And I tend to believe that, yes, the responsibility is different, but I think that you look at it different. Yeah, if you're out beating women, doing crazy things, no question, there's no place for that. I think when you're looking at behavior, when you've seen how in president, he said, I didn't inhale, you know, so what? People want to demonize certain things, and I think it's wrong. I think it's misconception, misperception of what marijuana, different things, or certain things that people look at and they're like, wow, I don't want my athletes doing that. I don't want my congressman doing it. I understand those things, but they can take all the uppers and pills they want and have, you know, I'm on Vicodin. Why do people allow, if someone's on pills or, you know, depression, and they'd say, oh, it's okay if I'm taking a bunch of Vicodin or Norco just for pain. And, oh, well, he just got caught on pills. It's okay. But then they demonize certain other things. I just think that we have to understand that it's here. It's here to stay. marijuana is going to be around. I mean, if you think about what's happening. So I think that there is a lot, huge amount of people, Joe, that still look at athletes and don't think they should.
Here's the problem, and you raise an excellent point. And we'd like to hear from you, 888-957-9570. We haven't opened the phones to the people in a while. 888-957-9570. Do you care if professional athletes smoke weed? 888-957-9570. The reason why people will look at pot in a negative light and they'll look at pills a bit more favorably is because when pills first came on the scene, they were legal. They were prescribed to you for pain. You were coming off heart surgery or knee surgery or neck surgery, and they were given to you for pain. So when they were introduced into our society, we learned of them as a cure, so to speak, for pain. They were legal. No one ever claimed they were taboo. Pot, while so much less likely to cause an addiction or long-term damage, started illegally. So because it started illegally, it already comes with this image of negativity for a lot of people who choose not to educate themselves on the subject. And that's not to knock those people, but you only have so much time in your day to dedicate to things outside of family and work and entertainment. And if you don't want to be educated on this, that's fine. But a lot of people see, well, you know, pills were legal. Pills are legal.
Yeah.
People just happen to get hooked on them. Meanwhile, pot, illegal, trouble. Right? It's just the connotation that comes with it. It doesn't make it right, but I think that's where the hang-up is for a lot of people.
And it's also the constant advertising where you have this drug and you see the man and the woman and he's struggling with hip pain and then he takes the pill and then all of a sudden now they're playing hopscotch and,
yes.
And they're going to the county fair.
They're in a bathtub.
If they,
oh, that's a different pill.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, we could go through all of them and the side effects or whatever, but if...
Why is it that every Viagra pill, everyone's in a bathtub, though? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Take Viagra and get in a bathtub?
They're trying to keep the imagery gentle. They're not just going to show you like a 2-star motel and all of a sudden, you know, the vibrating bed is being activated by
strong
the coin
point.
Slot.
No,
they're trying to keep it somewhat docile.
They just don't want to, they want to keep the swelling down. That's why the cold bath.
That makes a great point because swelling is somehow
cold
bad
bath.
In that setting.
On a cliff overlooking the ocean.
That was incredible.
I'm running material, Joe.
You're running great material. My point is if marijuana had the same sort of campaign, television campaign, you know, people would be much more willing to accept it. Well, eventually, maybe, I don't know if in our lifetime you'll see advertisements like we see now. You know, side effects include intense hunger and laughing and giggle fits. You know, I don't know if we'll ever get to that
point. Affinity for Beavis and Butthead and South Park.
Exactly. Side effects include cartoon watching, chip eating, and nap taking.
888-957-9570.
Oh, you know, one of the things I think the big difference for athletes is it's difference if you use it versus you endorse it. So I think as long as people are using it, I don't see why there's an issue, why people would have an issue with it, to each their own. But I think once it comes to endorsing a product, like going out there saying, hey, I use this recreationally for fun, blah, 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 that's when you have that line drawn of being like a role model for young people.
Yeah, it's a good point because kids will do whatever their role models tell them. I'm 37 and there are people that in society, certain TV shows I watch, certain authors I like, if they just come out and say, you know, I use this pen or I use this app for my note-taking. I'll look at that. I'll be like, damn, I'm using that app.
Yeah.
That's a smart dude.
But
without even researching it.
Understood. And I agree to disagree because we'll turn on the TV and we'll see your favorite actors like Bruce Willis, whoever it may be. They're smoking, drinking. And is that what I want to portray to my kids? So I get it. But so why do we hold people in different standards? And so to me, it's like, you got to be able to, that's why I said it all falls back on the parenting and the different things that you put in your kids around. You as a parent have to say, hey, look, this is a movie. These are these guys' life. You don't necessarily need to do these things. I think there's got to be balance. And I think that parents have to do a better job of explaining the, you know, what can happen if you take drugs, what can happen if you take pills, what can happen if you smoke, drink. All those things have to be a better job of being explained because we turn on the TV, guys, and we see it. They're every bar scene, they're drinking or they're smoking, they're doing these things, and you see it lead to sex, all these things. So are we putting that, is that a role model for our kids too? So let's be fair when we throw that out there.
888-957-9570. Do you care if your athletes smoke weed? Raider Ray in the North Bay is where we'll begin. Raider Ray, thanks for the phone call. Your thoughts?
Hey, good morning, boys. So getting ready for Raider camp over here, heading in about 15 minutes.
Very nice.
I just wanted to chime in. You know, I've never had a problem with it because all along, the headlines seem to be filled with guys hiding in the bushes telling everybody that John Elway is his boss. And we got all these guys that got, you know, serious drinking problems. and they're not even being addressed, and then they're right back on the field, and yet they want to put guys like Josh Gordon on the bench for an entire season. It's just, I think it's a political, a kind of a pathetic approach towards a plant.
Appreciate the phone call and enjoy your time out at Raider camp today. Raider Ray. How do I pronounce the name in Pacifica?
That's Moana.
Moana?
Yeah, and I recommend you see the film. It's an excellent, excellent movie.
I'm hearing from the back, who actually spoke to the individual, that it's Mona.
Well, then you don't spell Mona M-O-A-N-A. You spell Mona M-O-N-A. So if we're going to talk about accuracy, spelling, and pronunciation, then darn it, we're going to spell it right, or I'm going to pronounce it right.
You know what? How about this? You get the name wrong, you get a funeral take. That's how this is going to work. Yelling and screaming, telling people how their names are pronounced. We're going to make this quick. We don't call you Din or Den.
Listen,
we call
you Dan. If you write Mona, you spell it M-O-N-A.
Your take, Will.
That is Mona.
Rest in
This will not be, buried.
Yeah, it will. It's going to be buried. Yelling and screaming, and then immediately he just gets him. It's actually Mona.
When you ask how you pronounce a name, and it's M-O-A-N-A, for them to say Mona is wildly wrong and out of line. So that's fine.
Let's bring Mona on the program in Pacifica to talk about this. Mona, how disrespected do you feel that such a knucklehead just spewing garbage all over the air about your name?
You know what? I love this. And
it's unfortunate.
It is Mona.
Thank you, Mona.
Okay.
One quick follow-up, Mona. How do you spell your name?
Well, it's really Ramona, but you know nobody calls
there you
that,
go.
But it's M-O-N-A.
Thank you.
Oh, so it was spelled backwards. Mm-hmm. They screwed it up in the back room.
That's what I said.
Dibs.
Interesting. We will funeral take them right after this. But Mona, you actually did go out of your way to call the program. Please, the floor is yours. No more interruptions from us.
Well, good morning, guys.
Good morning
and
to you.
Well, let me just say this. I don't give two flying figs. If an athlete wants to smoke weed or do whatever else, it's their body, it's their life. But I think we are such a judgy society in general. And I agree with Lowe. We pick and choose. It's like big sin, little sin. I might not smoke weed, but I beat my wife. I might not smoke weed, but, you know, I cheat on my taxes. So all this nonsense about whether or not athletes should smoke weed, who cares? Because nobody is tripping when Snoop is on TV literally smoking weed while he does his show. So that's all wild. That's all fine and dandy.
Strong phone call right
Thank
there
you,
out of Pacifica. Mona, possibly the call of the month. We've really only taken two calls this month, but that could be call of the month. Dynamic. She's right. We're all dirty. I mean, the moral of the story is we're all dirty in some way, shape, or form. No one is doing everything by the book. That doesn't mean we're all terrible people, but, you know, I'm sure everyone in this room has at least one or two things they're doing that they don't want everyone knowing about. That's okay. It makes you human. Speaking of which, play the music
good
yourselves.
Job. Thanks.
You too.
My
Dearly
God.
Beloved.
My God.
Learn to spell. Your spelling will.
Rest in peace.
It's P-I-E-C-E, by the way.
Yeah.
From them in the back.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Did you stood your ground and you came out swinging.
We're on to Cincinnati.
And we're not
coach.
Retracting his funeral. He still gets it.
Okay. So he doesn't get like a resurrection or anything?
No. It's dead. It's buried. It's
you still need
decomposing.
To see Moana.
Very good movie.
It's a good film.
Wait, is that that's the kids' food film, right?
It's only a kids' film if you know it's you wouldn't watch it because it's a cartoon.
My niece loves it, and when we were all in Wyoming, we get in the van, giant van, because we're all going to Yellowstone together, and she's like, I don't know, a little over two, and she just Mona. She kept saying, "I'm like, what the hell is this?" She's like, "It's a movie." I was like, "What movie?" And that was the whole way. She loved the movie that much. So that's what that is, huh?
Dwayne
You've
The Rock
seen this.
Johnson plays Maui, plays one of the key characters, and he's amazing. It's a good cartoon film.
Anyone end up seeing Rock versus Skyscraper? We talked about it quite a bit. Was it any good? How was it?
It was good.
Did he beat the Skyscraper?
It was a hell of a fight. It was a hell of a fight.
No spoilers. I appreciate that.
You seen that.
The Skyscraper, I mean, The Rock is special, but he's minus a leg in this movie versus a Skyscraper.
You got to watch it. You absolutely, it is a must watch. People think, it's a Sky. No, it's got some nice twists and turns.
Deep movie, huh?
I don't know if it's necessarily deep.
You're making it sound like it's deep with the twists and the turns. I thought it was pretty forthright. There's a fire, his family's kidnapped, and he has to beat the Skyscraper in order to get him back.
Sounds plausible.
That's pretty much the plot, is it not? Am I missing anything there?
Couldn't refute it.
back to the phones. The conversation is as follows. The outrage breaking out over Cleveland Brown wide receiver Antonio Callaway getting caught with pot in his car. Some are saying it's yet another issue for Callaway, who hasn't even played a snap in the NFL yet. Others are saying, why do we still make a big deal out of this? Do you care if your athletes smoke weed? 888-957-9570.
No, I think the Callaway, did they reach out to him to an endorsement, I imagine, afterwards? And we'll go back to the phone lines.
Who? Weed? Yeah. Did Weed just call him up to give him an endorsement?
What? His name's Callaway. Did Callaway endorse?
Golf clubs.
Yeah, it was just, it was low-hanging fruit, Joe. I thought it was going to glow more.
Callaway, that was fruit that had fallen on the ground and rotted, is what that was.
Golf is played on grass as we start to really pull back the layers of this unbelievable
material.
Yeah, that's
what he was thinking. Yeah, he was really.
Because Callaway golf, and golf is on grass, and this, he got caught smoking grass.
And his last name's Callaway.
Coach, I take it back. You should have gotten a little bit.
Sigmund Freud over here went really deep on that one.
I bailed you out.
Miss Anna.
Mason in Concord.
I'm saying it was deeper than skyscraper.
Mason, thank you for the phone call. Your thoughts. Do you care if athletes smoke pot?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I absolutely couldn't care less if athletes are smoking marijuana, pot, whatever you want to call it. I mean, let's be honest. Marijuana is proven scientifically. It helps with pain. It helps with depression. It helps with all the kinds of things that, you know, soldiers come back home, they have PTSD. It's been proven to help them with that. And I think it also kind of just leads into a bigger question, which is that we kind of expect athletes, and by the same token, like, you know, actors or anyone really in, like, the public arena, you know, there's this, like, concept that, like, if you're in the public arena, you're supposed to not have political opinions, you're not supposed to use marijuana, you know, things that are legal that, you know, maybe Joe Schmo, you know, he's not going to get any flack for using marijuana, but, you know, an athlete, you know, you're in the public eye, and all of a sudden you're held to these different standards. And let's be honest, what are you really doing? You're playing a game, you know? You're an entertainer. That doesn't mean you should, like, suspend your right to have, your right to be political, your right to have opinions, your right to be public about that. I guess that's kind of where I lean in on the whole thing. And the one final point I just want to make, too, is let's be honest, marijuana is still taboo because the pharmaceutical industry can't make money off of it the way they can off of a lot of the prescription drugs, the stuff you see on TV. So I think that's a big factor in why there's still this frowning on it, and this, you know, concept that, like, you know, our role models, you know, athletes have to be role models for kids. You know, let's be honest, it's really about the money and about who's making the money from it.
No doubt.
Thanks for taking my call.
No doubt. Strong phone call. Same thing with sports betting. You noticed for years the leagues were against it. Then the second it got legalized, it was, well, we're for it. We just, you know, we want our cut. What are we going to do for our cut? And all the states looked at him and said, get the expletive out of here. You're not getting anything. Well, wait a minute. We need to get a piece of this. This is why you should have embraced it, you damn fools. Have some foresight. Understand that sports betting's coming. You can either jump on the train, work with the books, and find a way to get a cut, or you can fight them all the way until the end. And then when you lose, you think suddenly they're going to want to do business with you? No, that's not, and no one would want to do business with you in that situation. You've tied them up in court legally at a cost of God knows what, fighting against them for years, and now you want to jump on their side? Have some foresight. I think there is something to this. The NFL and professional sports would probably love to profit off legalized pot, but they're going to fight it right up until widespread usage is okay.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be, well, you know, now we want our cut. Too late. Get on the board early. Have some foresight and work with the people, not against them.
Or
understand
least,
trends.
At the very least, you don't have to fully embrace it, but you can just stop testing for it. If you're the NBA, I don't even know if they do test for it because you never hear guys getting popped for it. And certainly NBA players have the schedule that's more conducive to smoking marijuana than other games. Like baseball would be hard to do because every day you got to be sharp. Football for pain, you could do it, but they get tested so much, you can't risk it. Basketball is the one where they could come out and say, look, I know it's not legal in all the states in which we have teams, but we're just not going to test for it anymore because we realize how stupid this is.
If the NBA wanted to enforce it, they would be in the news cycle every third day for a guy testing positive like the NFL is.
Yep.
Nobody wants that news out there every day. The NBA at some point said, look, these guys are going to do it. Is it really the end of the world? Probably not. Let's go ahead and put a policy in place. Let's not really do a whole lot with it. Let's just let it go. And guess what? You never hear about it. You never have to worry about NBA players with that stuff because whether they're doing it or not, no one's reporting on it and no one's getting in any trouble because of it.
Wait till Pepsi and Coke and Budweiser all get behind it. They're letting, right now it's the Wild Wild West in the drug game. It, without a question, with the THC and all this stuff, it's a Wild Wild West. They're waiting for companies. There are companies out there, Joe, that are buying up buildings that and getting the license for that building. And they're starting. And so what they're going to do is wait to a company that's out there that's got it all, went through all the Wild Wild West and get it all legalized and all the things that go with it. And then you'll see the Pepsis, the Budweisers, and all those guys come into this game. You're absolutely right. The NFL should embrace this. Look, we all know that necessarily alcohol is not great for you. You don't go, but it's legal. You don't walk into church with a 40. You understand you can't go out there and smoke while you're getting ready to go and play. You're in the locker room. We get those things.
Right.
So that's what they didn't. They need to embrace it and say, hey, look, here's the things, the health reasons for this thing we should be taking compared to what pills. You can go side by side and talk about inflammation, all those stuffs against, you know, the different things that are out there and put weed or hemp or against those things. And you'll see that intellectual property is better for the body. So if you can do those things, I think the NFL should be have foresight and be an embracer.
Mason and Conker was right, though, because the pharmaceutical industry is a $1 trillion business. And so they don't want to release their stranglehold on all the pills that we take and that certainly that pro football players take.
Absolutely.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, a radio.com station. Good morning and welcome to the program. It is great to have you with us.